All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back in today to the Real Gabe Anders Show. This is RGA Dart Daily, and we're going to go ahead and cover a bunch of things. I'm going to start off with clearing the minds that I'm sure that I blew just one night ago, roughly 24 hours ago, in stating my options for potential replacements for Zach Wilson. I'm sure that, I've just stayed off Twitter. I haven't even looked, and I'm sure the hate tweets are piling up. I'm sure all of the New Yorkers are bombarding the Twitter at Real Gabe Anders and the Instagram at RGA Show with all sorts of accusations of insanity directed towards me and absolute just ridiculousness. And it's not that I'm afraid. It's not that I'm afraid to face them. I'm going to be logging on after the show, and I'm going to take a look at all of it. But no, I just haven't had the chance to. But if you're curious of what I'm talking about, and you missed last night's show, basically what I said is I think that two very, very plausible solutions. If Zach Wilson is not ready to go between weeks 1 through 3, heaven forbid week 4, I think that you could go with Flacco, which is probably what will happen most likely. But I say if you're the Jets, it's time to get aggressive. It's time to get aggressive. It's time to go after it, to really do something, make a mark here. And that's why I gave 3 names that I would consider to fill in for Zach Wilson if need be. Name number 1 that I gave, Taylor Heinicke. So Taylor Heinicke, Washington Commanders. So hear me out on this. So this is where I'm asking, give me a chance to sort of explain and tell you what I'm thinking here. All right? Taylor Heinicke. He was not terrible last year with the Washington football team, now Washington Commanders. Not terrible. He threw for over 3,000 yards. First off, he had 20 touchdown passes and only 15 interceptions. So again, he's not going into Canton immediately with a free pass, first ballot Hall of Famer this year. No. I'm not saying that. That's not exactly what I'm saying. What I am saying is anytime you can get a guy as a fill-in who can throw more touchdowns than interceptions, and let's face it, when Ryan Patrick went down, that's what Taylor Heinicke was. He was the fill-in. He was the fill-in. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Wow. Ryan Fitzpatrick went down for a year. The entire year. Ended up retiring after the year. Unfortunate, but kudos to you, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Congratulations on a fantastic career. Taylor Heinicke became that fill-in who just stayed the rest of the year because Ryan Fitzpatrick couldn't go. Where the Jets could go with Ryan Fitzpatrick is Ryan Fitzpatrick. That'd be nice. That'd be an idea too, but I don't think he'll come back. You could try it, but I don't know that it'll... I think he's been there, done that. But with Taylor Heinicke, you could certainly utilize his mobility. You can utilize his sort of strategy. I was watching him with the Commanders when the Commanders were playing the Panthers. The one thing I didn't quite recall from last season, and perhaps I just missed it, was Taylor Heinicke's size. Now, one thing I'm going to say, because he is a smaller quarterback, I didn't quite realize it until I was watching. Either that or everybody on the Commanders line is just gigantic, which also could be the case. But Taylor Heinicke's size doesn't really impact him that much. It might a little bit. I think it's more of the optics might make you a little uneasy or a little uncomfortable if you're more for the standard traditional larger sized quarterbacks who you like to tower over everyone, preferably. But Taylor Heinicke is still productive. Again, I think the biggest thing is he threw over 3,000 yards with the Washington Commanders team that doesn't really have any targets. And if you're debating the fact of whether or not the Commanders had targets last year as the Washington football team, name me one. I'll wait. I don't care that it's radio. I'll wait. But yeah, with no targets, they say he had a good running back, and that was about it. But he's not the running back that he had wasn't a running passing or catching running back. He wasn't a receiving running back. So really, he was just opening up the passing game maybe. So with good strategy, Taylor Heinicke is choice number one. And I'm going to get into choices number one and two, or two and three, I guess that would be respectively, after this. And if you want to take a little sneak peek, head over to RG or head over to tinyurl.com/RGAshow. And then, of course, while you're doing so, go ahead and give us a follow on Twitter at RealGabeAnders and Instagram at RGAshow. Going to take our first time out. We'll be right back. Hey guys, Gabriel Anders here just to let you know that if you really want to help out the show and hear an extended version, make sure you're following us on Spotify, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and tell any of your friends who might dig what we're doing to do the same, because everybody we can get on board definitely helps, and we'll be able to get extended versions, extra versions, all sorts of extra episodes and more. But if you just go ahead and spread the word, we really need your help in doing so. And by the way, if you're in Glendale, Arizona, or in the Phoenix area in Arizona, go ahead and check out the Arizona Wrestling Federation. Summer Explosion is happening this Saturday, August the 13th at the 40 Toad in Glendale, Arizona. Tons of great matches, 9th anniversary, it's a great thing we're doing. Come having a great time with us. And of course, if you want to hear your brand advertised here, email us, realrgashow@gmail.com. Now, back to Dart Daily. Okay, so second option of this, Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota is a mobile quarterback. I saw when I watched him the game between the Atlanta Falcons and the Detroit Lions, it seemed like there was seeming discomfort with him and the offense. I've always been a big Mariota fan. I've always liked his mobility. I like his arm. I like the things that he can do. He does not seem comfortable in this offense right now. And that's something that I'm going to try to touch on by the end of the week, is Desmond Ridder and Marcus Mariota and what's going on in Atlanta. Because I personally, he's QB1 for now. For now. But I think that Desmond Ridder is definitely chomping on his heels right now. I think that Mariota is either feeling the pressure or just never clicked at all with the offense and what's going on in the scheme of the Falcons, which is also very possible. And it's not a discredit to Mariota's talent, because I think that Mariota is a very solid quarterback with a lot of traits that would be very well. He did very well in Tennessee when he was there. He sort of sat behind Carr and didn't really get a chance or a fair shake in Oakland. Before, I don't know if he's been there since they moved, but Las Vegas with the Raiders, and has looked good in the few times that he had to fill in for Carr. So I think that the plausible move at the time, I think the best move at the time with the Falcons signing Marcus Mariota was a fantastic move. I applauded it. I was in favor of it. I thought it was an excellent, excellent move, and I thought that there was the best thing that the Atlanta Falcons could have done outside of coaxing a Tom Brady out of retirement across the division, or an Aaron Rodgers, or finding a way to trade something for Russell Wilson. But nonetheless, I think Marcus Mariota was good at the time. How well they knew that they were going to be picking up Desmond Ridder. I think the biggest thing was how well they knew that Desmond Ridder would take off so quickly into an excellent, excellent system. Now, the one thing you're going to have to combat is, no matter how good he looked in one preseason outing, I think he looks great, just the mechanics and everything that he did at Cincinnati in college was fantastic. I believe he went to Cincinnati. Hate tweet me at RealGabeAnders if he didn't, if I messed that up. Let me know. But with Desmond Ridder, his mechanics looked fantastic. He already had pro-style mechanics with just a little bit, obviously some tweaks that need to be made anytime you're going from college to the NFL. But with that, he was able to transition very well. I don't know that the Falcons expected that. So my point, if you're the Jets, is perhaps you kind of take advantage. And if you go online, the NFL's all in on Desmond Ritter. They might as well be. Everybody might as well be saying Mariota who? Marcus who? Mary what? Mario what? If you're the Jets, the iron is hot to strike, because if they've found their quarterback, you need to take advantage of that. Zach Wilson may or may not be your quarterback. He's definitely injured for now. We know he's missing. He's not your quarterback for at least a month, possibly more. I say you move over to Marcus Mariota. You put Flacco on the shelf. You keep him there. Keep him in the quarterback room, because Zach Wilson, the only thing better than one veteran quarterback he could learn from is two. Ask Philip Rivers when he was learning from Drew Brees and Doug Flutie at the same time. Marcus Mariota would be a huge benefit because the Jets don't have a line, and Mariota scrambles almost every play. We saw with the Falcons that he didn't really even need to be doing that, but again, whether it's comfortability or jitters or whatever it may be, he was doing it. He didn't really need to, but he was. Now, this would fit for the Jets because they need somebody who can run around the get out of the pocket and make plays for them. Mariota's that guy. Mariota's 100% that guy. He can make plays with his feet. He can find a deep guy open. He can get the heck out of Dodge out of the pocket, because they're going to need to, because in New York, that pocket collapses. The pocket collapses more in New Jersey if you have a green helmet on your head than me trying to make an analogy about the Jets, because it's just so literal. It's just so literal. The pocket's going to collapse, so Mariota would be an excellent fit. An excellent fit. So we're going to take a break. Then my point being is, you trade over draft picks. See if you can get away, because you're going to have good draft picks. And even if you don't, if you end up not having a good draft picks, the perception right now at this time from the league will be that you, as the New York Jets, will have good draft picks. Because you don't look that great. You don't look that hot right now. Even if you do end up winning more than they think, the benefit of that is you get a double whammy, because you get rid of a draft pick if it's a little bit lower than you had hoped for. And you get Marcus Mariota on your roster for 2 years, because he's got a 2-year deal. There's a lot of things that might prevent the Falcons from shipping him over. But hey, I'd say try. Make him an offer that they can't refuse. And get this guy on your sideline filling in for Zach Wilson. I'm Real Gabe Anders, at Real Gabe Anders on Twitter, at RGA Show on Instagram. We're going to take a quick break. After we do, I'm going to go over David Blau, why I think he's a good idea, and some other fun stuff. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. RGA Dart Daily, Real Gabe Anders Show. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back, and this is Gabriel Anders. You're listening to the Real Gabe Anders Show. This is RGA Dart Daily, and I am concluding in this segment. Now that I've narrowly evaded death, I was choking on water during the break, during that timeout, and I almost didn't make it back, guys. I'm very glad to be with you here. I'm very glad, not to make a joke out of tragedy, but we almost just experienced one here in the DART studios, all right? We almost lost me. I tried to drink some water as I normally do, as I'm off to do during the break. It didn't go so well. It didn't go fantastic. We had to take a little bit of an extended break, but we're back now. And I'm going to explain to you the madness, the insanity of exactly what I was specified in my article. And we're going to wrap up this whole Zach Wilson business here. So really what we're looking at is David Blau, a.k.a. also known as the Detroit Lions' third-string quarterback. He might as well have a middle name of Blaka. Blaka, Blaka, David Blau. Yeah, I know, pretty lame. But David Blau, super awesome last name. Like, if he was a starting quarterback, this would be a fantastic last name. And that's my reason why the Jets should... No, that's not the reason why. But it's an added perk. It's an added bonus, right? Especially you're in a big media market like New York. It's a fantastic. It writes itself. It writes itself. It really does. But the reason that I'm saying David Blau is you have Zach Wilson again, right? You don't. Who knows what side of the fence you're on? A lot of people are on one. Honestly, I haven't heard a lot of people going to bat for the poor kid. I think he definitely may need more time in the oven. There might be something there, absolutely. But I think somebody who might be ready to take the gears and really have an opportunity to prove, and he's young, he's got a young, not a rookie contract anymore, but he's got a contract that won't break the bank. He's got a two-year, he was just re-signed by the Lions as a third-string quarterback for 2 years. They're not going away from Jimmy Goff. Jimmy G is another thing I'm going to mention right now in regards to it, but they're not going away from Jared Goff. They're not. They have a second-string quarterback that they're pretty set on. Like, they have their 1-2 punch. This guy's just sitting on the bench. They're also in the place to where they're going to need some amped-up sort of help soon on the roster. So for a couple of draft picks might be more valuable. You might be able to get away with a third round or a fourth round number one draft pick, or assuming you're going to have a high end draft pick. And that might be enough to, I mean, it's a third string quarterback. Throw in Flacco, throw in one of your thirds, just trade a straight up third string for third string quarterback. I can't even recall the name of the Jets quarterback. I was watching him. He looked all right. Looked no worse than Blau, but I would say he did look worse than Blau, because I would rather Blau than him. So anybody on the bench, but I'd say, yeah, offer them a fourth or fifth high up, or offer them one of your two or three of your, like I'd say, give them a fourth round and two of your sixth rounds, because you got a million of them and you don't need them. At this point, the Jets don't need draft picks. They got draft picks. They need to go through free agency and trades and somewhere something else. Draft, you're good on the draft. You got the early rounds. A million six rounds aren't going to help you. But it could help a team like the Detroit Lions. So that's why I'd say take a chance on Blau. He's actually my number one. Love Heinicke. Love Mariota. But I think the most realistic option that could actually work for the Jets is get rid of a fourth round or fifth round pick and a couple of your lower end or maybe higher end, because you got a bunch of them sixth round picks, and get pick up Blau. Send him over a third string quarterback of your own so they have the roster spot filled. But talking about the Lions, speaking of the Lions, I really enjoyed watching the Lions and the Falcons. That felt like a regular season game, didn't it? Like, that was a fun game. I mean, I've gone on at ad nauseum. I think I'm done for right now until they play again this weekend, going on about Desmond Ridder. I'm going to give you guys a break on that. I'm going to give you guys a break on tooting the Desmond Ridder horn. But the Lions in that first drive for their first stringers, and granted it was against the Falcons, granted it was just one drive, but holy moly, did the Lions look better than they did at any point in time last year. And I've been telling you, Dan Campbell needs to stick with Jared Goff, because he helped take the Rams to a Super Bowl, lest we forget, not too long ago. Now, the Rams have done a lot since, and they won a Super Bowl since, and Stafford may or may not be a better quarterback than Goff. That's, I don't know how debatable that is after this last year. It was prior to me, at least, but I think Stafford proved a lot in that realm. However, you might not need that until you get into the playoffs with Jared Goff. They have DeAndre Swift. The wide receivers aren't looking too bad, and they got a great offensive line because Jared Goff sits around waiting all day. Hence, those draft picks may come in handy, because a couple fourth and sixth round picks may be what they need to pick up some talented wide receivers and get them into the playoffs. I think personally, hot take now, I think the Detroit Lions will be making the playoffs this year. So just put that in your pipe and smoke it. We're going to go to our first timeout. You can follow me at Real Gabe Anders on Twitter, at RGA Show, on Instagram. Taking our first timeout here, RGA Dart Daily, Real Gabe Anders Show. We'll be right back. Hey guys, Gabriel Anders here, just to let you know that if you really want to help out the show and hear an extended version, make sure you're following us on Spotify, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and tell any of your friends who might dig what we're doing to do the same, because everybody we can get on board definitely helps, and we'll be able to get extended versions, extra versions, all sorts of extra episodes and more But if you just go ahead and spread the word, we really need your help in doing so. And by the way, if you're in Glendale, Arizona, or in the Phoenix area in Arizona, go ahead and check out the Arizona Wrestling Federation. Summer Explosion is happening this Saturday, August the 13th at the Horny Toad in Glendale, Arizona. Tons of great matches, 9th anniversary, it's a great thing we're doing. Come having a great time with us. And of course, if you want to hear your brand advertised here, email us, realrgashow@gmail.com. Now, back to Dart Daily. All right, well, that's what I think of the Detroit Lions, and that's why I think that we'll go on more, because time will also have to tell. They played good in one drive in one game, and then you can only take their second stringers and everything with a grain of salt. So we're going to bookend preseason week one, because I think we've hit on everything we can hit on. Tomorrow, preseason week two starts, so just to touch base. So there were a lot of games. I spent a bit of time on stuff that I saw we could have improvements that really made a difference. There was one other game that I was really wanted to take a look at, Dolphins and the Buccaneers. I really wanted to see Tua and Tyreek Hill and all the gang, Gesicki and everyone put together, but everyone was on the bench. They were all on a yacht or something. No, they were there, I'm sure. But ended up not being able to see it. Dolphins sat 17 starters, so we'll have to wait until preseason week two potentially to see exactly how Tua meshes with all the weapons that were given. I didn't get a lot of chances to take. I'm gonna go ahead and put an article up most likely if it's not up already. I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to run through the Steelers and the Seahawks, that quarterback battle. I wish I would have got more time. Maybe we'll expand on it later in the week as we move forward, maybe as we're previewing the Steelers week two. But Kenny Pickett, I think, was the standout of that quarterback battle that's going on between Mitchell Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, and Kenny Pickett. I really liked what I saw out of Pickett. I think he looked the most calm and collected in the pocket. Mitchell Trubisky did not look bad by any means. Mason Rudolph is Mason Rudolph. So if you like him or dislike him, he was consistently giving what he offers in the series that he played in. So all three looked fine. All three looked very fine. I think that no matter which route they go and whoever ends up winning the battle, there's going to be some trade equity there. So Panthers and Commanders touched on it a little bit, not a whole lot outside of Wentz and Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield really didn't astoundingly ooh and ah me. Of course, neither did Sam Darnold, neither did Wentz, and Taylor Heinicke was, you know, I think my favorite. So we all know how I feel about Taylor Heinicke. Titans and Ravens loved Malik Willis. And then Browns and Jaguars, Deshaun Watson started. And other than that, it was, you know, it was nothing really to write home about. Cardinals and Bengals. I mean, the Cardinals are being the Cardinals. Bengals are being the Bengals. Jets and Eagles, we kind of covered. And then Chiefs and Bears, nothing really to, you know, write home about there other than the playing surface was maybe not so satisfactory. Colts and Bills. Colts and Bills was a fun one to watch. I don't think that... I'm Matt Ryan. Thank you. I don't think that Matt Ryan quite was as amazingly fun to watch as I thought he would be, but it's preseason week one, so we'll see how he gels with the Colts system. I'm still optimistic about Matt Ryan and the Colts. Saints and Texans. I want to have Richie Vegas come on if he can. We're trying to get the schedules to work out and go in depth and detail on that. I know he has a lot of good insight we'll go into. If we can't get him on, I'll go into it myself, and then as we're previewing them for week two. Cowboys and Broncos both wore home jerseys. That was interesting. I think that's about the most noteworthy portion of that, other than the Broncos are in very good spirits, as they should be with Russell Williams, Wilson. Chargers and Rams, Chargers and Rams, all the backups playing a preseason game. I don't think that we'll see Justin Herbert this year, and most likely I don't think there's a reason to see Matthew Stafford or Cooper Kupp out there, to be quite honest. Vikings and Raiders, Vikings and Raiders. That one didn't really hold my interest. Nor do I expect it to hold yours if I were to talk about it. So, key standouts going into preseason week two, that starts, of course, tomorrow, is the Bears and the Seahawks. I think I've seen enough out of them in week one to really, get a gauge on anything. Panthers and Patriots will be interesting. States of Packers, if you like Jordan Love. Texans, we'll go ahead and talk more about. I think the biggest standouts for me are going to be Niners-Vikings. That'll be a fun one. Raiders-Dolphins, if Tua plays. Chargers-Cowboys will be sort of okay. 49ers to see if Kyle Shanahan's consistent in doing what he's doing. And then I want to say, yeah, that'll be about it. You know what I'm not seeing? Lions-Colts, just to see Lions and Matt Ryan. And then, of course, Falcons to watch more of one of my new favorites, Desmond Ridder. So, and then the Falcons are playing on a special Monday night game against the Jets. So that'll be starting tomorrow. We'll see if we have an update during the game. I'll try to keep you posted. But other than that, we might not. We might just skip it for the long haul and give some previews on the other games, because Bears Seahawks, I'm sure it'll be fine. It'll be tolerable. But, you know, how much of the Bears and the Seahawks do you need to see? Geno Smith is, you know, playing like Geno Smith. So other than that, that'll about do it for us here tonight. Another fantastic episode. Thank you guys so much for listening here to RGA Dart Daily. I just want to thank everybody who helps make this a part. Everybody who's followed us on Twitter at RealGayBanders, on Instagram at RGA Show, and everybody who follows us on Spotify, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, and everywhere you find podcasts, please tell your friends if you like what we're doing. And that'll about do it for tonight. We're getting wrapped up. We'll be with you tomorrow night with more NFL Football Week on RGA Dart Daily. I'm Real Gabe Anders. This is the Real Gabe Anders Show, RGA Dart Daily. And good night for tonight, and we will see you tomorrow. Take care.